This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Sometimes doctors need doctors. According to our guest today, that fact is especially true when it comes to health professionals who have made a career out of caring for children. So he wrote a book aimed primarily at pediatricians, but I think we can all learn from his insights. Stuart Eldridge is a board-certified pediatrician with more than 20 years in primary care. His focus is helping parents and his fellow pediatricians hone their skills when it comes to caring for the little ones among us. Dr. Eldridge, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, so what are we missing? What is the main thing doctors often overlook when it comes to interacting with parents? You cover this in the first chapter of your book, Passionate Parenting.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of things that we deal with every day in our practices. And of course, you know, when I include pediatricians, there's also a lot of other There's family practice doctors nowadays, and nurse practitioners, of course, are a growing group of healthcare professionals, all of which are taking care of families and children. And so all of us deal with a number of medical issues on a regular basis with our children, but what we don't oftentimes spend time with, unless we're asked to by the parents, is about their parenting and the parenting skills. But a lot of health-related issues and behavior problems and mental health issues all can stem back to good or bad parenting.
Really? So you're saying there is a connection between how that child is raised and the environment it's in and its overall health?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I thoroughly believe that. And I think that if we, you know, really focused a lot on parenting and, you know, good parenting and skills and teaching right behavior, that certainly the mental health issues that we're dealing with, which was just a growing problem, all the way to depression and anxiety, and not to mention feeding problems and eating disorders. And there's so many different issues that I think with good parenting and proper environment, that a lot of those things could be avoided.
Now, you, in the first chapter of your book, you really cover this in detail. A patient comes in, a young person comes in, and the parents are there, of course, and they're sitting across from you. What are some of the main issues that that doctor who is looking at that parent, realizing that parent's making some major mistakes, that parent is affecting that child's health in some rather profound and bad ways, how should that doctor approach the parent to point out these mistakes that they're making?
Well, that is the difficulty. That's why I titled it Unsolicited Advice.
Yes.
Because you really can get yourself in a lot of trouble. In medicine, we can talk to patients and parents about all kinds of medical problems, some of them pretty sensitive. Their marriage and, you know, they're having affairs, and now, of course, their health, and they're smoking, and they're drinking. But when it comes to parenting, it is a whole different ballgame. And it's a very sensitive issue. It's a prideful issue. And so if you're not asked about it, then oftentimes you either have very good dance moves, as I say, and learn how to get around getting to the point that you see going on in your office. A child's, you know, kind of tearing the place apart, disrespectful, talking back to the parents, and if you're seeing all that, you just pop up and address it without being asked, you oftentimes will lose the parent. So you have to be careful. You know, you can ask open-ended questions like, how are things going at home? You know, everything going okay? You know, not any behavior issues? Now, you may see them, obviously, but you have to ask that, and if they don't volunteer the information, they just say, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Well, then you don't have a whole lot of room to work with them. And so, but usually if you ask those questions, they'll finally bring it up, and then you have an opportunity to help them with their parenting.
So what I hear you saying is you're making those types of questions and those types of inroads part of the treatment plan you have for that child.
Correct. And I do it a lot now, and that's one of those things that when I talk about helping parents and helping healthcare professionals is incorporating it in part of your regular health maintenance. So now they come in, you know, and children, we see them a lot. We see them, you know, every year for their checkups. And so that really is a good opportunity, like at 2 years of age, where I'll always mention, you know, having them sit at the table with you and learn self-control and learn that that's a good family time to interact, get the TV out of the kitchen and, you know, work with your children and talk with them and teach them good eating habits. And those things will be lifelong, because poor eating habits are also lifelong. And so, and at three, then we talk about, you know, having them learn to sit and read books and learn self-control again and learn, because they got to do all these things in school.
Yes.
And they really struggle if they don't learn how to do a lot of those things early on. I had 12 months of age and talked to parents that are intact families about making sure they're doing their date night again, because if a marriage falls apart, so goes the family. And we have a horrible divorce rate in our country. And so there's different times during those visits, those well visits, that you can bring up good points on parenting and family and stuff to try to reinforce that.
You made a statement in your book there that it says that it is even more important what children are eating as opposed to that they're eating. Parents say, oh, my child's not eating. But you're saying that there's something even more important than that. Am I right?
Well, absolutely true. And parents do have a tendency from a very young age to focus on, are they getting something in their stomach?
Yes.
They really get into trouble when they start getting to be the picky eaters. And of course, from 18 months on, they start getting kind of choosy and picky. And so if you really buy into the idea of, I just got to get them to eat something, well, they can quickly learn that, even by 18 months, 2 years for sure. So if I just hold out, then I can get my cookie, or I can get my candy, or I can get all the same pasta meals, everything, and forget the vegetables. And
and
so parents really have to be focused more on what they're feeding their children and not the fact that they've got to get something in their bellies. I mean, you know, we got rampant obesity in this country, and we got parents worried about their children going to bed hungry one night because they were being stubborn and not wanting to eat. You know, and that's just, you know, not a necessary thing. Believe me, if they go to bed without a meal because they were refusing to eat what you served, I guarantee you they'll eat a good breakfast the next morning. So
that's true.
They will not starve, but we get so wrapped up and concerned about, you know, getting them to eat something that parents will let them have anything they want. And I've got children, all she ate was hot dogs, you know, and macaroni and cheese. That was her entire diet because of, you know, mom just being so concerned about that. And the child was horribly overweight and, you know, not in good shape. So, you know, those are the kind of things I try to help parents to avoid.
We're talking with Dr. Stuart Eldridge. He's a pediatrician, has written a book called Passionate Parenting, a guide to healthcare professionals. And of course, that is also a guide to parents. Anything that a healthcare professional needs to know, a parent needs to know as well. You talked about the diet. One of the main things that you talk about in here is the actual lifestyle of the young person. Other than diet, what are some of the lifestyle issues that parents are missing the boat on when it comes to raising their children to be not only just good citizens, but also healthy citizens?
Well, I think there's a whole host of areas they can focus on. I mean, obviously, I think the family mealtime is a big one, and you can do a lot more than just teaching them good nutrition. You can also teach, you know, how to interact with the family and to show good manners. I got parents that can't even go to a restaurant for the first 3 or 4 years of the child being with them because they have not taught them good manners. I think that's very appropriate and helpful for them out in public. You know, they can teach good bedtime rituals and sleep issues. We've got children sleeping all over the house because the parents haven't taught them how to sleep through the night, which disrupts their behavior during the day because they don't get good restful sleep. It also doesn't help the marriage at all because they got a child sleeping between them half the time. So, you know, there's another issue that they can really work on, and teaching them to go to bed and fall asleep in their bed, stay in their bed from a very young age. You know, I start talking to parents, you know, about 3 or 4 months of age. Are they sleeping through the night? Are they sleeping in their own crib? And then eventually, are they sleeping in their own bed so that they can avoid a lot of those problems, which creates issues down the road. And then we can talk a lot about, you know, how do they teach their child to interact with their siblings? Are they working with them to have certain rules that, you know, you don't hit your sibling, you don't belittle them, we don't bully? You know, those kind of things are all important behavior teachings that parents need to be working with in their children so that they, you know, can create an environment in their home that's loving, that's positive. I mean, there's going to be correction in every family, but what you really want to do is focus on the positive and on teaching, like what we call teaching in times of non-conflict, where when they're doing well, if you're heading to church and you know that somebody's going to give them a compliment, then you teach them on the way. You know, you need to be able to say thank you and look them in the eye and shake their hand. And so you're teaching all these positive behaviors so that you can avoid a lot of the more negative things that you have to deal with
It seems to me that sometimes parents believe, well, when my child gets out in the real world, he'll learn a thing or two. She'll be set straight. But that's not the place to learn these things out in the world. Am I right?
Absolutely true. It's in the home. That's where the best teaching should and can take place. And that's really important that parents focus on that. And, you know, we really can spend a whole lot of time as parents just making sure they're fed and dressed and out to school. But we really want to focus on the parenting. And that's why I titled the book Passionate Parenting, because when you're passionate about something, you do three things. You spend your time, money, and your energy. You know, working on being good at whatever you're passionate about. If it's a sport, you spend your time, money, and energy learning the skills of that sport. Or even if it's just a sports team you love, you read about them, you study them, you buy tickets, you go to the games. Any kind of thing you're passionate about, that's what you do. You spend your time, money, and energy. And parents need to look at their parenting that way. They need to spend their time, money, and energy learning to be the most effective parent they can be. That's what benefits their children as much as making sure they're eating well or dressed or off to school on time. And all that stuff's important, but so is all the other things they do as parents. And we sometimes don't spend enough time thinking about parenting as a skill that we need to learn.
My, we're talking with Dr. Stuart Eldridge, pediatrician. He is the author of the book Passionate Parenting, A Guide to Healthcare Professionals. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about your past. According to the introduction to your book, there was a time when the light went on for you that this needs to be part of the curriculum that a pediatrician has when dealing with patients. So we'll talk about that on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your Biblical Prescription for Life. A patient recently asked me about natural ways to help his heart. Well, I referred him to Daniel 1 verses 12, where it says, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us give them vegetables to eat and water to drink." Well, vegetables in that setting was that which is sown. The word is called zeroim. Well, you know the rest of the story. These fellows were 10 times smarter than the king's men. Esselstyn in the journal American Family Practice in 2015 did a study that showed that people that eat greens and plant-based nutritions have healthier hearts, less cardiovascular events. So our biblical prescription for life today is Zeroim, Z-E-R-O-I-M, eat that which is sown. For more information, visit our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Before we get back to our guest, I want to extend to you an open invitation to visit the HeartWise Ministries website. Why? Because I believe that's where you'll find many of the answers you seek as you strive to improve your physical, mental, and spiritual health. Begin with Dr. James Markham's blog, insights into the very latest developments within the ever-changing world of health and well-being. Then submit a question to the Ask the Doctor section. Your query will be answered by physicians who practice medicine every day. Need a little more information? Watch the Heart of Health Live television episodes or listen to these radio programs. Check out the HeartWise Healthy Eats link, where you'll find restaurants that offer healthy choices. And finally, don't forget to leave your prayer requests. The HeartWise staff will join you in placing your needs before God, the ultimate physician. All that and more are waiting for you at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Stop by today. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Dr. Stuart Eldridge, a pediatrician and author of the book Passionate Parenting. He says we need to be passionate about the things that are important in our lives. And I can't think of a more important thing than having a child in your care. That's got to be very, very important. As a matter of fact, that was on your mind, according to your introduction to your book, Passionate Parenting, when you were in medical school and something happened there that changed the course of your life. Tell us about that.
We had a professor come in. It's only one of the few times in the 3 years of my pediatric training where someone actually came in instead of talking to us about another medical issue that we needed to learn in pediatrics. He talked about parenting. Mm-hmm. And we had just recently had our first child. He wasn't very old. And I think most of the other residents who didn't have children didn't really see it as that big of an issue. It was like, oh, okay, it's a nice talk. I found it just fascinating. And I wrote notes like crazy. And I came home and I told my wife all about it. And we started trying some of the things he was talking about. And it just really woke up this idea to me that parenting is so important. And it's a big part of what we should be doing as pediatricians. It's unfortunately just not a big part of our training, which was the motivation behind my writing the book after 20 years when I realized that I was seeing not only a real serious decline in the parenting skills of our parents, but I wasn't so sure what my colleagues were teaching parents, because if they didn't do extra work studying how to be a good parent or teach good parenting skills, then they were depending on their own background, which may be good, but it also might have been poor. And if they were, they were just passing on bad information. And that would be unfortunate for parents who are asking for good help. And so that's the motivation behind the book, is because I really believed we could benefit or help parents a lot more if we were on a good training program. It's just not a part of our residency training, and that's unfortunate. And the other real reason for the book was I believed in that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And my wife and I have been teaching parenting for over 20 years in our church and in our home and helping a number of parents, hundreds. But if I could get the healthcare profession to be helping parents, then we could teach thousands, and that would make a big difference.
Let's talk for a minute about the very privileged people with lots and lots of money, and they have children, and here are the children in the lap of luxury, in the gilded cage. What are some of the advice you give to people of privileged families in some of the dangers and pitfalls that they may have in dealing with their children and bringing them up not only happy but healthy young people?
Well, I have a whole chapter on it called The Overprivileged Child, and the problem is overprivileged and overindulged doesn't necessarily mean you have to be wealthy to do it. Some people just buy their children everything. Yeah. Even though they don't have a lot of money, they spend everything on the children. And it teaches the children an entitlement mentality is what it does. It's somehow they believe that without doing anything really at all, I deserve all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they become disrespectful. They really sort of focus all of us on themselves. It's all about me and me-ism. And so as they grow up, it really damages relationships, because this entitlement means that if it doesn't feed me, if it doesn't give me what I want, then I'm done. I'm out and I'm gone. And so relationships are damaged, marriages are damaged, because as long as the marriage is focusing on taking care of my needs, then great. But teaching that preciousness of others, you know, which the Lord was other-oriented, needs to be taught. And in homes that are where children are overprivileged or overindulged, that ability to see beyond themselves and to focus on the needs of others is very difficult to do. We call it child-centered parenting, where children are just, they're the focus, they're the center of the world, and they believe that. And when they get out, it's very hard for them in this world that doesn't see them that way, you know, to all of a sudden interact in a world where they don't care that you want something.
That's true.
It's not their job.
You are not a priority in the world, put it that way.
That is true, but they don't realize that, and it's very difficult when they're raised in an environment where they believe everything focuses around them.
So what do you do? How do you do that? Even the Bible says you want to give good gifts to your kids. How do you give things to your children without spoiling them?
Well, I think you can give them gifts when it's necessary. I think you can overindulge them. In other words, you just lavish them with these huge parties, these huge ideas. They got to keep up with the Joneses, and you know, everybody's got to have a bigger party. And I think the other thing is you can teach your children that when they go somewhere else, it is not about them. So if they go to another party, you know, nowadays every child has to get a trophy when they play a ball game. And they, you know, they can't be just the winning team. And every child has to have a present even to go to somebody else's birthday party. And you teach your children that it's that person's special day. And so for today, cake and ice cream is enough. You don't need a gift. Now, that's hard sometimes if you've got parents that are wanting to do that. They think that every child, but there's a lot of parents that expect that. They'll actually make that suggestion to other parents that, well, you know, of course, you're going to give gifts to all of our children, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing that mentality of what we call helicopter parents, where they just hover over and they make sure there's no disappointment. And so you can give gifts. That's not the issue. But you also need to have them do things around your home that are not reward related. In other words, they need to do chores without pay. You know, we give allowances, and I'm not real big on allowances because, you know, what are you getting the allowance for? Because you breathe? Because you carry the last name? You know, I mean, you have to have a reason for an allowance. I mean, in the world, you get paid because you do your job.
Absolutely.
And you do it well.
Yes.
And at home, they need to do chores that are not part of pay. And more reason for that is that it teaches them an investment in the family. They learn to invest and put effort towards making the family function and do well, and that helps them bond closer to their family. And so chores without pay, yeah, you can have some that they want to earn money. That's great. Have some extra chores. But they need to have chores that make them just welcomed members of this family and know they're needed, because if they felt needed and wanted, then they're going to invest more in the function of the family, and that gives them a feeling of security and a sense of belonging. So,
wow. This is the type of advice, listener, that you will find in the book Passionate Parenting, A Guide to Healthcare Professionals by our guest today, Stuart Eldridge, Eldridge. There is a website that he has given me to share with you, and that is www.teachpassionateparenting.com. TeachPassionateParenting.com. You can learn more about Dr. Eldridge and also about the book, Passionate Parenting. In closing, Dr. Eldridge, what is the one piece of advice you would give to parents today? As a pediatrician, you're talking about the health of their children, the health of their children. What would you tell them today to start doing today that they may not be doing?
I would do what I call focus on the love priorities. They need to focus, for those families that still have mom and dad together in the home, they need to focus on their marriage first. I mean, God's first.
Yes.
He's the center, and that'll help the stability of your family. Within the family, the marriage is first. The children need to be welcomed members, but not the center of the family, and that avoids a lot of behavior problems, a lot of spoiled behavior, and child-centered parenting. Your careers need to be third. It's important to want to do well in your career. That's great to want to do well, but not at the expense of the family, so that it becomes the priority. And then the fourth thing is your extra activities. If you like golf or tennis, or you like to do other things, if you're doing things as a family, that's great. But if you have individual activities, you got to be careful that you're not letting those be such a priority for you as a parent that you're not spending time with your family and teaching your children and raising them, because it's fleeting. Our children are much older now. They're 25 and almost 24, and believe me, it goes by quickly. And so spending time understanding those priorities, I think, are really important for families to keep things in perspective and in the right order.
Words of wisdom from Dr. Stuart Eldridge, the author of Passionate Parenting, A Guide to Healthcare Professionals. Dr. Eldridge, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your words of wisdom and guidance. We appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. I certainly enjoyed it. It's been great.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Stuart Eldridge, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.